Chapter 23. We rode Vana north toward the Silk Road, skirting the great Indian desert that had almost killed Alexander the Great's forces as they returned to Persia after conquering half of the known world 3 centuries before. Although it would have saved a month to cut through the desert, Joshua was not confident about his ability to conjure enough water for Vana. A man should learn the lessons of history. And although I insisted that Alexander's men had probably been tired from all that conquering, while Josh and I had basically been sitting around at the beach for 2 years, he insisted we take the less hostile route through Delhi and north into what is now Pakistan until we joined the Silk Road once again. A little ways down the Silk Road, I thought we received another message from Mary. We had stopped to have a short rest. When we resumed the journey, Vana happened to walk over where she had just done her business, and the pile was pressed into the perfect likeness of a woman's face, dark poo against the light gray dust. "Look, Josh, there's another message from your mother." Josh glanced and looked away. "That's not my mother." "But look, in the elephant poop, it's a woman's face." "I know, but it's not my mother. It's distorted because of the medium. It doesn't even look like her. Look at the eyes." I had to climb to the back of the elephant to get another angle on it. He was right. It wasn't his mother. "I guess you're right. The medium obscured the message." "That's what I'm saying." "I'll bet it looks like someone's mom, though." With the detour around the desert, we were nearly 2 months getting to Kabul. Although Vana was an intrepid walker, as I have mentioned, she was a less than agile climber, so we often had to take long detours to get her through the mountains of Afghanistan. Josh and I both knew that we could not take her into the high, rocky desert once we passed Kabul, so we agreed to leave the elephant with Joy, if we could find the erstwhile courtesan. Once in Kabul, we asked around the market for any news of a Chinese woman named Tiny Feet of the Divine Dance of Joyous Orgasm, but no one had heard of her, nor had they seen a woman simply named Joy. After a full day of searching, Joshua and I were about to abandon the search for our friend when I remembered something she had once said to me. I asked a local tea seller, "Is there a woman who lives around here? A very rich woman, perhaps, who calls herself the Dragon Lady or something like that?"
"Oh, yes, sir,"
the fellow said, and he shuddered as he spoke, as if a bug had run across his neck.
"She is called the Cruel and Accursed Dragon Princess."
"Nice name," I said to Joy as we rode through the massive stone gates into the courtyard of her palace.
"A woman alone, it helps to have your reputation precede you," said the Cruel and Accursed Dragon Princess.
She looked almost exactly as she had almost 9 years ago when we had left, except perhaps that she wore a little more jewelry. She was petite and delicate and beautiful. She wore a white silk robe embroidered with dragons, and her blue-black hair hung down her back almost to her knees, held in place by a single silver band that just kept it from sweeping around her shoulders when she turned.
"Nice elephant," she added.
"She's a present," Joshua said.
"She's lovely."
"Do you have a couple of camels you can spare, Joy?" I asked.
"Oh, Biff, I had really hoped that you two would sleep with me tonight."
"Well, I'd love to, but Josh is still sworn off the muffin."
"Young man, I have a number of man boys I keep around for, well, you know."
"Not those either," Joshua said.
"Oh, Joshua, my poor little messiah, I bet no one made your Chinese food for your birthday this year either."
"We had rice," Joshua said.
"Well, we'll see what the accursed dragon princess can do to make up for that," said Joy.
We climbed down from the elephant and exchanged hugs with our old friend. Then a stern guard in bronze chainmail led Vana away to the stables, and 4 guards with spears flanked us as Joy led us into the main house. "A woman alone?" I said, looking at the guards that seemed to stand at every doorway.
"In my heart, darling," Joy said, "these aren't friends, family, or lovers. These are employees."
"Is that the accursed part of your new title?" Joshua said.
"I could drop it, just be the cruel dragon princess if you two want to stay on.
We can't. We've been called home. Joy nodded dolefully and led us into the library, filled with Balthazar's old books, where coffee was served by young men and women who Joy had obviously brought from China. I thought of all the girls, my friends and my lovers, who had been killed by the demon so long ago, and swallowed my coffee around a lump in my throat.
Joshua was as excited as I had seen him in a long time. It might have been the coffee. You won't believe the wonderful things I've learned since I left here, Joy, about being the agent of change. Change is at the root of belief, you know, and about compassion for everyone, because everyone is part of another, and most important, that there is a bit of God in each of us. In India, they call it the divine spark.
He rambled on like that for an hour, and eventually my melancholy passed, and I was infected by Joshua's enthusiasm for the things he had learned from the Magi.
Yes, I added, and Josh can climb inside a standard-sized wine amphora. You have to bust him out with a hammer, but it's interesting to watch.
And you, Biff?
Joy asked, smiling into her cup. Well, after supper, I'll show you a little something I'd like to call water buffalo teasing the seeds out of the pomegranate.
That sounds...
Don't worry, it's not that hard to learn. I have pictures.
We were 4 days at Joy's palace, enjoying comfort, food, and drink such as we hadn't experienced since we'd last seen her. I could have stayed forever, but on the morning of the 5th day, Joshua stood at the entrance to Joy's bedchamber, his satchel slung over his shoulder. He didn't say a word. He didn't have to. We shared breakfast with Joy, and she met us at the gate to say goodbye.
Thanks for the elephant, she said.
Thanks for the camels, Joshua said.
Thanks for the sex book, Joy said.
Thanks for the sex, I said.
Oh, I forgot. You owe me 100 rupees,
Joy said. I had told her about Kashmir. The cruel and accursed dragon princess grinned at me.
Just kidding. Be well, my friend. Keep the amulet I gave you and remember me, huh?
Of course. I kissed her and climbed on my camel's back, then coaxed him to his feet. Joy embraced Joshua and kissed him on the lips, hard and long. He didn't seem to be trying to push her away.
Hey, we had better go, Josh, I said.
Joy held the Messiah at arm's length and said,
You are always welcome here, you know that.
Josh nodded, then climbed on his camel. Go with God, Joy, he said. As we rode through the gates of the palace, the guards shot fire arrows that trailed long tails of sparks over us until they exploded above the road ahead. Joy's last goodbye to us, a tribute to the friendship and arcane knowledge we had all shared. It scared the bejesus out of the camels.